not supposed to have heroes in life, and if you do have heroes, you're not supposed to have any elected officials. However, there was a man, and I made him my role model. He did a Republican rebuttal many, many years ago. His name was Marco Rubio. And what he did is he let every single one of us know as a speaker that we can drink water in the middle of our speech. So here it goes. Oh, that is so wonderful. Thank you very much. Now, let me give some thankfuls here. And I really appreciated Pastor saying that this weekend was a full weekend, because I'm full. I really am. You folks have done such a wonderful job. I have been fed so much. Now there are moments of encouragement and moments of sadness. The greatest moment of sadness is just before the ladies' meeting, I saw the decorations, and they moved, men, in the place where you had breakfast, they had moved the most wonderful dessert and dessert table into the same room the men were in. And I looked at that, and I made a mental note, when I come back, go to that table. And I came back, and I picked up my wife, and I forgot. I still have a little bit of sadness in my heart. Even now that I did not get that dessert, I want to thank you, the church, as being such gracious people. Your pastor and his wife, such gracious hosts. The meals have been wonderful. The room is fabulous. I've talked to my wife. We drove here in a Hyundai Sonata, and I want to know if there's a way to fold that king bed into our car. And just, it's such a wonderful mattress. We slept so well on it. And I just want to thank you for just taking care of our every need. And we have very much enjoyed getting to meet so many of you and being able to have fellowship with you and talk about different walks of life and meeting people that have been places where I have. These folks over here, Glen Allen, Alaska. I've been to Glen Allen, Alaska. Our dear brother Jones, who is in Kalispell, Montana, and my wife and I, I was a pastor in Kalispell, Montana, 5 years, the same church he came from. We missed each other by about 2 years, but it's been a great blessing, and your pastor is a great blessing. He's 1 week short of 10 years. Hang on to him, and nail his foot to the floor. And for ten more years, and him and his wife, and God is blessing your church. Let's let that blessing continue. And so we are going to turn together in the Word of God tonight. We're turning to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 20. We're looking at verses 1 through 19, And I so appreciate you. I appreciate my wife who accompanied me on this trip. And I'm so glad that she is a blessing to you ladies. Now, some of you got a piano CD. You're going to enjoy that. I am completely spoiled for many, many years. I just sit in the living room and she plays. And I so enjoy that very, very much. 2 Kings chapter 20. We're looking at verses 1 through 19 out of respect for the Word of God. If we can, let us stand together out of respect for the reading of God's Word. And you may say, Pastor, where did we get this? Nehemiah chapter 8. That's exactly where we got why we stand for the reading of the Word of God. And this is an amazing thing. The entire nation of Israel returned from the exile, came completely unified, better than most churches we know, completely unified, banged on Ezra's door and said, bring us the law of God. And he brought it and he stood on a pulpit. Wow, look, we have a pulpit. And he opened the Word of God and the people stood up. And that's where we get that from. Looking at verse 1, I'm going to be reading 19 verses, but a very, very important passage in the book of 2 Kings. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And I want you to understand, Hezekiah was a relatively young man. At this point in his life, he was, you know, only in his 30s. He was not an older man, and he felt like, you know, life was being snatched in the prime of life. And it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle of court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." And Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs," and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day?" And Isaiah said, "This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, "It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. And I'm going to stop and explain something a little bit here. I was telling the pastor this afternoon, before God got a hold of my life and started directing me toward the ministry, I wanted to be a professional astronomer. That is what I wanted to do. At that time in the world, there were only 2,000 professional astronomers in the world, but I was very scientifically minded. I had not yet said to the Lord, "What wilt thou have me to do?" I had not yet said that. But because of that, I have some knowledge. The dial of Ahaz is the sun dial of Ahaz. And I want you to understand, the sun precedes in the sky 15 degrees every hour. And so literally what Hezekiah was requesting be done, he said, "Could you turn time backwards 40 minutes? And now, how that affected things, how that affected the world, I have no idea how that would work. I don't know how to put a brakes on a big spinning ball spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. I don't know how that works. But just so you understand, in astronomical terms, what happened, that would go back 40 minutes, which means all of a sudden the entire day would be 1 hour and 20 minutes longer. So very, very interesting. No extra charge. Thought I'd let you know. Verse 11, and Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, "What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee?" And Hezekiah said, "They are come from a far country, even from Babylon." And he said, "What have they seen in thy house?" And Hezekiah answered, "All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them." And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? Let us have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you have a great lesson that you desire to teach us today. Help us to be learners of this lesson. We are not blind to the state of our nation. We are not blind to the state of future generations. And we are in a strait. We are in a perilous time. We are in a time of trouble. Please help us, Lord, to be the solution and not the cause of the problem. We pray that you would teach us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Think back in your minds, think back in your memories. Have you ever made a really big mistake?
Yes, sir.
A really big one. When I say that, some of you actually have an emotional response inside you, a response of embarrassment and shame of face, and I wish I could take that back, and I wish I could turn the dial back 10 degrees. I wish I could do that. You know, like this one. Oh, when is the baby due? Question. Answer. I'm not expecting. Or how about this one? Excuse me, ma'am. Answer.
My name is George.
Or I even saw this joke online. It was out about a particular elected official. And it said, I'd like a chicken sandwich and waffle fries. Answer. Sir, this is a car wash. So we have these different things that we look at here, and we realize that sometimes we just really, really blow it. And King Hezekiah had a mortal threat, a divine deliverance, and a huge mistake. His attitude following was the worst mistake of all. Here in this passage, we get to do the flyover, see the problems, and hopefully find the solution. The title of the message tonight is called The Danger of Early Retirement. And even though that is the title of the message, we are going on a journey. We're not going to get to the point until we get to the very end. But I just ask that you would give me time. Take the journey in God's word with me as we look at this here. And the question that we have for all four points tonight is, what can we learn? What can we learn from? So let's start with this one. We're in the book of 2 Kings. And what can we learn from Hezekiah's crisis? What can we learn from a man who is a young man? He has basically been told he is about getting close to 40 years old, 39, 40 years old, and he's told, your life's over. What can we learn from Hezekiah's crisis? And indeed, some of these things are even what he said in his own words, but I want us first to go back and understand that Hezekiah said to the Lord, he said, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept very sore. So let's examine his statement before Almighty God. And here's what we will find. He had lived a righteous life. Look at 2 Kings chapter 18. Go back to verse 2. It says, 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him, catch this, after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. So we look here and we realize he had lived a righteous life. When he was speaking to the Lord out of the abundance of his heart and the burden of his heart, he was absolutely telling the truth. So we can learn that he had lived a righteous life. But we also learned something else. God had delivered him before. So he knew what God was able to do. In 2 Kings chapter 19, looking in verse 19, we have a prayer of Hezekiah. And he says, "Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of the hand, that all the king out of his hand," talking about at this point, talking about Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and Jerusalem being besieged. "Save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Israel, I have heard." How many of you want to know that God hears you? How many of you would like a confirmation? How many of you would like to go up, look up in heaven, and at least see like a red light or a green light? How many of you would like that to happen? You just like to see something. Well, here Hezekiah, he got a green light. Looking in verse 34, it says, God said to Hezekiah, "For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." So we'd seen that Hezekiah had lived a righteous life. God had delivered him before. I want to give a word of caution here, and that is this. Long life is not always a blessing. And so you're in 2 Kings. Go ahead to the book of Isaiah. Go to chapter 57. Isaiah 57. And we have a sobering cautionary statement that is found in the heart of the Word of God here. There was a preacher that used to preach in Dallas, Texas. His name was Adrian Rogers. And Adrian Rogers, he was going through the book of Romans, and he made this statement. He says, "I'm sorry to say that many times as born-again believers, we are too busy praying to keep the saved out of heaven, but not the lost out of hell." And he is talking about the idea sometimes people have bad health. Heaven is a prize, not a penalty. And so it's important to understand this. But look at chapter 57, verse 1. "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away. None considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness." And this is saying long life is not always a blessing. Let me point out something. Since we're doing the flyover and we can look at the entire life of Hezekiah, the history before and the history after. If Hezekiah had died as God had said, Manasseh, the most evil king that Judah ever knew, would never have been born. Interesting to think about. An evil king. So this is what we can learn from Hezekiah's crisis. So here's the second question. What can we learn from God's divine deliverance? Because we know by reading the passage that God did deliver King Hezekiah. One is this. God sees the tears of his children. It's not only the prayer. When you weep before the Lord, God sees the tears. And I do not understand everything about it, but I do know this. God responds to tears. Not only do I know it because of what I've observed, I know it because the Bible says God does. Looking in Psalm 56, verse 8, we have King David talking about what he knows about Almighty God. And he said, "Thou tellest my wanderings." Here it comes. "Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" I want you to stop and think about that. Your tears are recorded in the halls of heaven. That's a stunning statement when you think about it. In other words, when your heart has been burdened, when your heart has been so distressed that you have wept before the Lord, in here it's saying the Lord is catching your tears and the Lord is recording your tears in a book. What an amazing thing. They have actually found artifacts that they have dug up. They have actually found tear catchers. They've actually found bottles that catch people's tears. And I've seen that artifact during an instruction time one time. "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." What an amazing thing. God sees the tears of his children. There was a group of people years and years ago in the 1800s around London, England. And it was a young group of people, and they wanted to see people get saved. They wanted to see people come to Christ, and they were witnessing for all they were worth, and nothing was happening. And finally they said, "What can we do?" And so they sent a telegram. You know, one of those, you know, Morse code things that started, the technology was coming in. And they sent it to an evangelist. And they explained to him, "What can we do, people not being saved?" And the evangelist sent back only two words, "Try tears." And so that same young group of people, they came before the Lord and they prayed before the Lord. And they cried and wept before the Lord. And suddenly people were getting saved by the hundreds. And that is how a little known organization known as the Salvation Army was born. Was from that very thing. So we have here, God sees the tears of his children. God saw the tears of Hezekiah. God responds to the tears of his people. But also, the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. And we already know by scriptural record that Hezekiah was a righteous man, and God heard the cries of a righteous man. Psalm 34, looking at verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." What can we learn from God's divine deliverance? Never underestimate the size of God's miracle. And when you look at the miracle of God, it was sizable to say the least. Very, very interesting. It's one thing for somebody to be healed of illness. And if you've been a born-again believer on this planet long enough, you know of somebody who has been healed by God. You know that it's happened. My wife and I were at Grandview Baptist Church. We knew two ladies with stage 4 cancer that were healed completely in the same year. The doctors had no explanation. The cancer just vanished out of their bodies. Okay? And was there any Holy Roller stuff going on? Did anybody call Benny Hinn? No, none of those things happened. Really, what happened is just good old-fashioned people of faith praying for people that were sick, and God healed it. There's a time in my life where my wife had an illness. She felt she was divinely healed by God. We went before the deacons. We had a word of prayer. She was healed, and she never looked back. And so understand what God can do. And this is now, and so healing in many ways is a light thing for the Lord. So Hezekiah said, well, listen, healing's a light thing. Can you do something extra? Could you just turn the sun backwards 10 degrees? Can you absolutely defy all the physical laws of the universe and turn the sun, make it go the wrong direction? And a lot of people go, how interesting. Never underestimate the size of God's miracle. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27, the Bible says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Understand, nothing is too hard for God. And there's a beautiful song that is called, Is Anything Too Hard for God? I love hearing that song over and over again. Never underestimate the size. Looking in the book of 2 Kings chapter, the book of 2 Kings chapter 20. And just reviewing again what took place for King Hezekiah, the miracle that took place in his life. Isaiah just simply said, miracle number one, take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. I like figs sometimes, but only if they're wrapped around with something called Newton. It's the only way I like figs personally. Some people like it other ways. And then, of course, we have the sign of God and the sun going back 10 degrees. What an amazing thing. However, God's divine work on our behalf shines a light on our accountability. And that is, if we, being a child of God, cry out to God, and God does something very special, and God does something very unusual, we need to take special note, because what that meant is God's spotlight was on us. And after the miracle, God's spotlight is still on us. And it also draws the attention of other people to be watching us from that point as well. What can we learn from Hezekiah's crisis? We discovered that. What can we learn from God's divine deliverance? We learned that. What can we learn from a huge mistake? And here's what we can learn from that. And again, we're looking here. Number one, we can learn the foolishness of no counsel. It's very, very apparent that Hezekiah did not ask anybody before he made the decision to show the people from Babylon everything. Now, so we look in verses 12 and 13, where it says, and at that time, Berodon-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. How many of you go, hey, you know what? If I was sick, I'd like to get a get-well card. Would you like to get a get-well card? Okay, you like to know somebody cares? Somebody sends you a present. Hey, well, that's nice. Like to be sent a present. Maybe be sent a plant. Maybe be sent a flower. Maybe be sent $20,000. You know, everybody likes to get a gift, a get-well present. We don't have any idea what the people from Babylon brought for a get-well present, but evidently Hezekiah liked it, and he liked it enough to lose his head. Now, maybe you know he was very, very sick, sick unto death, you know, just recovering, the boil is gone, and he's beginning to feel a little bit better, has maybe a little bit of, before it was invented, COVID fog, you know, that type of thing. So maybe he's having some issues here. And I kind of think of it, it's kind of like somebody from a far kingdom comes and goes, oh, you're from China? Okay, I'm thankful that you came. Oh, you want to see our military research and development? Sure, that's all right. You want to film it on TikTok? Yeah, okay, that'll be okay. And so, you know, just not using his head at all in what he was doing. The foolishness of no counsel. But also the short-sightedness of his pride. There was a short-sightedness that had taken place here. And I'm going to look real quick and just here. Okay, I'm just checking that out here. So look at verses 14 and 15 here. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There's nothing among my treasures I have not showed them. Now, at that point, I think I'm Isaiah now. Okay, I'm about ready to pop. Okay, you know, if I was Isaiah, good thing I wasn't Isaiah. At that point, I would have taken the king. My head would have been chopped off because I would have grabbed and go, what were you thinking? He didn't say that. But why did he do it? The short-sightedness of pride. That is something that we can learn here. A huge mistake. The short-sightedness of pride. You know, King Hezekiah, you know, God had delivered him from Sennacherib, the most powerful nation on earth, and he is fin strutting his stuff. He is feeling pretty good. He's feeling high and mighty, and he's kind of strutting around like he had done it instead of God had done it. And the end result was he just got big in his head. That's what happened. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, which is a parallel passage, by the way, of what we're reading here, looking in verse 25, it says this, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. And then again in verse 31, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. Wow. You have Hezekiah before he was sick. And you have Hezekiah after he was sick. He's not the same Hezekiah. And so there's the great consequences of the wrong action. That's what we can learn from this huge mistake. In verse 16, and Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee that thou shalt beget shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. There is a great consequence for wrong action. And here's something that I often learn when I look at the term consequence. If you repent before the Lord, God will always forgive, but he will not always fix. King David found that out in 2 Samuel chapter 12, looking in verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou was given great occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. We've learned 3 out of 4 things now. We've learned, what can we learn from Hezekiah's crisis? And we've learned that he indeed did live a righteous life, and God had delivered him before. But long life is not always a blessing. We can also learn from God's divine deliverance that God sees the tears of his children. He hears the prayers of the righteous. He can hear your prayers. He can see your tears. And you can have a miracle that you can't even believe because it's bigger than you thought was even possible. But then we're accountable. Then we're responsible. Yeah. Then we're watched by God. Then we're watched by others. And we can make a huge mistake. Think about this. Right on the other side of a great work of God. Yeah. We can say, God's in charge. God's in control. God's delivered. God's blessing me. Let our guard down. and crash and burn. Yeah. This brings us to the final point. What can we learn from the danger of early retirement? And now we're coming to the point. Look at verse 19. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? And I'm just stunned by the attitude. And here's the thing. What we can learn by the danger of early retirement. You go, what do you mean by early retirement? When we still have life to live and we've already quit on God. When we still have service that we can bring to the Lord, but we've already stopped. This is the danger of retiring on God. And this is exactly what Hezekiah did. Hezekiah was serving God before he was sick. He was not serving God after he was sick, and I can prove that in just a moment. But what can happen? We can develop a selfish attitude. Well, it's good for me. No, he just told me I'm going to be okay. Just told me I'm going to be rich. He just told me it's not going to happen while I'm here in the kingdom. And think about all the good things. Everybody's going to like me. My poll numbers are going to stay up. I'm going to look good in the annals of history. Everything's going to be okay. Yeah, it sounds pretty bad for my kids, but that's okay. It's okay for me. We can develop a selfish attitude. And when we stop working for God, we can affect those that are around us. And again, in 2 Chronicles, the parallel passage, chapter 32, looking at verse 30. I want to point this out, and you're going to find this interesting. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David, and Hezekiah prospered in all his works. I just described to you what the Bible records as the last 15 years of Hezekiah's life. In the first 14 years of Hezekiah's life, what did Hezekiah do in the first 14 years? He presided over one of the greatest revivals that Israel ever saw as a nation. He conducted the greatest Passover in Israel that had taken place in over 250 years. That's what he did in the first 14 years of his ministry. What did he do in the last 15 years? He established city water. And that's all the Bible records. What happened here? He quit on God. He retired on God. He wasn't the same Hezekiah after God healed him. He was not the same man. And what does this mean? It means this. We still can. We can still be a child of God. And we can gain great prosperity for ourselves and sacrifice the next generation. Yeah. The Bible says this in 2 Kings chapter 21. Manasseh, remember I told you he would not have been born? Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. This was Hezekiah's son. He would not even have been born if God had not extended Hezekiah's life. He was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, almost twice as long as his dad. And his mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And look at verse 9. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. This is the legacy of what I call Hezekiah number two. We can gain prosperity for ourselves and sacrifice the next generation. I have driven on the road a lot, and here's what I have discovered, especially in the summer months. There's a whole lot of RVs on the road, okay? And I mean, they are big rigs. I've also discovered that only 50% of the human population that owns an RV really knows how to drive one. Okay. But some of them have that old bumper sticker on the back of it that say, "We are spending our children's inheritance." In this case, in this passage, we're spending our children's spiritual inheritance. So now we're to the point. And here is the point of the message. While you have life and breath, don't quit on God. There are too many watching, including your own. Now, you may reach a point where you cannot do the same things, but doing nothing is not an option. Let God change your job description. There will come a day where I won't be able to preach anymore. I know that day will come. There's a pastor over in Spokane, Washington, and that pastor and I, we often talk about this. And one of the things that he says, I want, when I step down as pastor, I want people to say, "Oh, I'm really going to miss him," and not, "Finally." Okay? And what I say, you know, when it comes to my church, I go, I hope my congregation love me enough to tell me when I'm no longer making any sense from the pulpit. I hope that that'll happen. There'll become a change of job description. That happens in all our lives. God's going to change your job description. Be flexible, be ready, but don't quit and don't stop. Just find out what you still can do before the Lord and continue to do it. Turn with me, and this is going to be our final passages. We're going to the book of Joshua, chapter 24, because I want to have a contrast here regarding Hezekiah number one, Hezekiah number two, and I'll call him Joshua Prime, because Joshua never changed. Joshua 24, verse 15. Here is what Joshua said to the people of Israel and before his entire family. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." When Joshua made that statement, he was only days before his death. He had celebrated his 110th birthday, and he was only a days away, but he gave notice to a nation, and he gave notice to his family, "I'm going to die with my boots on. I'm going to ride the horse until I fall off. I'm going to live for God until I breathe my last." And now look at the difference. Go to Joshua 24, look at verse 31 with me. "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." In other words, people served God while Joshua was alive, and people served God for another generation after Joshua was gone. Yeah. Amen. So you have two people here, and we have the danger of early retirement. Hezekiah lost the next generation. Joshua saved the next generation. And the question is, what are God's people going to do? What are you going to do? Let's have a word of prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll have an invitation. The invitation is an opportunity to make a decision, to make a commitment in our own lives, to literally draw a line of demarcation and look in our own life and say, "God, I'm at a crossroads here. What am I going to do before you? Are you living life by accident, or are you living life on purpose?" It's a big question. If you are here tonight and God spoke to your heart tonight, would you just slip your hand up by way of testimony and saying, "Preacher, God's word said something to me tonight, and I heard it, and I'm giving testimony. God's word spoke to me tonight." There's many hands, many hands, many hands. You may put your hands down. Is there anybody here that say, "Pastor, I know I'm at a crossroads, and I know I need to make a decision about something that is important in my life. Would you pray for me as I consider that decision?" Anyone at all? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Quite a few hands. God bless you. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with this invitation. And we come before you looking at the need of the hour. And we look at our lives, whether we are young or whether we are old. But we are in the same position. And our position is, what will we do before you? While a world hangs in the balance, while our own church has a need, help us, Lord, to make the right choice. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. The piano is playing right now. And right now, you have an opportunity to put wheels to the need of your heart and the choice of your life. You can come to an old-fashioned altar. You can pray before the Lord. You can cast all your heart to Him. And sometimes that's something people, they're just not used to doing. But I'm here to tell you this. Something about that foot moving puts wheels to your commitment. And you know in your heart that you really did something. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, people are praying. People are praying before the Lord. Would you come and would you just make a decision before the Lord? Understand that it's before you and God, but God knows it. God knows your heart. God hears your prayer. God sees your tears. And God wants to be a help to you tonight. And only you know between you and the Lord what the difficulty might be with the choice that you have to make. But the thing is, there is a God who is here, and He wants to help you tonight, and He wants to help you to take a step ahead. And He's here right with you. He's hearing you, and He wants to be a help to you tonight. Would you come?